Blog Talk Radio.
Koda, Mojuba, Asheda, Mojuba, Aluwa, Mi, Apolabi, Pega, Mojuba, Araba, Mi, Adesanya, Awuyade, Mojuba, Ogute, Compound, Ode, Remo, Mojuba, Baba, Mojuba, Yeye, Mojuba, Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba, Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba, Egungun, to all those that are listening. Who are tuned in, we give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe-o.
Are you doing the prayer tonight? I don't know if you're being heard on the computer.
14 years in the state pen. I use the state pen. Any thoughts like prescriptions of medicine, destined to transcend from within the arts of ignorance that surrounds me daily.
Okay.
Press to cut his wise mind and old soul, feel that if it's been here before. Therefore, I'm always been spiritually at war with this reality called earth. Trapped in this matrix of illusions since birth, questioning my worth, feeling like I've been cursed. Don't know what's worse. Still, I search to see what works. Hope people miss it before they can blink. True. But this aspect of reality called the raw truth. Open me up with surgery, and you'll see what's lurking beneath skin stained with prison. My natural reflex is to think and question your directions. Got me lost like a pedestrian. Because there are subtle divergences converging with designs designed to mentally disable and distract. And them facts. So in order to stay focused, at times, I have to mentally fall back. Black out the white noise until the sound waves are all flat. When you up and pull it, only to hear the sound that lets you know that you're out of bullets.
In a caged in world, I thought these wounds would heal by now. After all this time, but after all these miles, I'm still hurting. Cause the whirlwind is still turning, and a worldwide chain gang still working. And it's a meager wage, but a major price to pay. Search for a revolution, waiting to witness our evolution, in a place where our blood is shed for free. You can either play with it or play it for keeps. Give me Visine for these bloodshot eyes, cause they burn. Can't help what I see, can't help what I've seen. The distractions are getting heavy, and it's a storm in the city. So much noise you can hardly hear it. I guess you will when the smoke clears.
True.
In tune with the resurrection that leaves me poetically inclined. A conscious mind working to redefine my whole being. A spiritual cleaning. Detoxication that keeps me leaning as I read the handwriting on the wall. A sign of saying help needed for us all. Cause we're in the middle of a worldwide crime scene where our leaders don't speak. Tom's denial only keeps us weak and divided. This thinking is elevated for the troops who can't weep. Except on the inside, and that's the raw truth that cuts deep. But if you really want to be free, you gotta walk it. And it's a fine line, sometimes a tight rope with pitfalls on both sides. And when they say you out of touch, cause they think you got too much pride. Never understood why I hit the club and spent time riding around 285. All the while, intoxication was a way to take away the pain on the inside. In this caged in world, Michael Malone, Shining Storm Poet.
Sacrifice was with honor and no
vulnerability and truth, an acceptable fragrance made right by our loyalty. Yet you slew us in injustice and hatred, envy seeking to arrest our seed and cut off our posterity. Our blood still speaks from the ground. We are able to rise. From the depths of the darkest black earth designed to destroy our destiny rises forth a strong hand grasped before a mighty man, ready to prophetically lead our generations back to the true platform of ethnic prestige. Yeah, young brothers, these bronze can live. We are able to rise. Ready for Yahshua, but now we still fight.
Revolution won't stop his bloody end of existence itself. Existence in a world of sin with such love, one choking in blood under the hand of one hand, crooked cops all on my shit, all black mother had left.
And what of the child, black Jesus? Identify with more than the common man. Identify with those caught under the mightier than the sword lash of the pen named felony. And Lord, please hear the prophetic plea of the inner city streets violently bombarding me. Am I proud to be a product of welfare, thuggery, pimps, prostitutes, gangsters, chicanery, and slavery? Proud to be in the marginalized corridors, surviving over mentalities of senseless violence and immorality? Proud to be stretching outstretched, displaced hands to God, handed down life sentences for being fearless street jungle targets of a catcher's grasp? Manufactured under the capitalistic absorbent seduction of fast money.
16 bars in 20, we cannot remain here, groping through the catacombs of confusion, looking for a talisman to replace the Urim and the Thummim, wherein lies the only true answer.
Born into a nation of impoverished justice, I have starved for truth, and Hades' assaults have had free reign long enough. Woe unto those who have systematically lined their pockets, exploiting me while using God's name in vain. I look to my culture left in its hybrid ruins, the consequence of a socially engineered schematic for cultural domination. And yet I see far enough to know only a cross awaits me. Pardon my days, weeks, and years spent in brazenly obnoxious prophetic hip-hop screams. I've only courted America's attention to the state of emergency surrounding my ungoverned people as lost sheep on inner-city streets without visions, only substandard, else imprisoned dreams. This is merely the story of a soul born black, feeling to find his way.
I was born in the U.S. of A, a native in this city, Atlanta, GA. I know we're supposed to be peers, but how's that the case? Our worlds were too different to be the same. I know where the lines divide, unfortunate but true. I knew you weren't from around my way when you entered the room. As for me, I was taught, stay on your side, and so I stayed on mine. Life in the city can be crazy. It doesn't matter if it's yours or mine. Sometimes we draw our own lines, and every line isn't straight in this city. You can't mend all this ills with utopian ideals alone. I prayed and thought a lot in that room about their threads of suspicion, the weave of their case. I was never the bad guy. You could have asked someone who knew. It's true, the lines weren't rightly divided. If you look closer, you see we're not the same. I went to court again today. The decorum was the same, the people against me. I saw beautiful Asian eyes looking into mine, and a British accent my attorney assumed to be liberal and true. A representative for the people portraying me as a menace to my city. I saw the lines cross. It could have gone either way, and I braced myself for the worst case. And there was a tension inside. It wasn't right. I shouldn't have been in that room. Pushing up stretch in the 8x12 room, I no longer wonder why the lines get twisted and switched. Things aren't supposed to stay the same while they. I grew, I changed, I never stopped fighting my case. I won by embracing my struggle like winter cold. The hard lessons were mine. I don't despise them anymore. I made it. And you still won't find a perfect line in my city. The negative must lead me to a greater and happier end. I must travel the path that's true. To prevent myself from becoming an angry man, I must pursue a character noble and true. I used to think my prayers were unanswered. Still, I kept talking to God in my room. Destined to find my way. Destined to become more than a mere product of my city. Destined to transcend the twisted line. The caterpillar doesn't remain the same. I quietly listen to that inner voice. I trust mine. At times, you'll get it wrong. I surrounded myself with many counselors just in case. A simple paradox may present a difficult case. We may unravel majestic truth, but not everything we think is true. I sift knowledge continually, let time and experience examine mine. Delusion defies freedom. I cannot be contained by a room. I learned about the struggle. Understand, all struggles aren't the same. My life has become an adventure. I will leave here and go to a new city. A city big and beautiful. I will call it mine. I will learn the lines and find room for myself. Maybe I'll find love. Maybe it'll be true. Already envisioned this resurrection of me. God himself has erected the establishment of our peace, knowing that a man's days on earth are a very short lease. Therefore, I stand to live, to give my strength to many, knowing beyond a shadow of doubt that his seed shall not abide alone. And who are you, might I ask? Mystery enshrouds all we shall be, all we shall see. Have we not come into this world to possess wisdom, to discern the times and seasons of our sojourn? And what a great awakening. We have never been what they portrayed us to be. And was Yahshua anything less than a king, who they deemed to be a rebel and a criminal, as it was presumptuously made to seem? The wickedness of a perverse psychology, a pandemic of reverse psychology. History tells of countless victims enslaved, made merchandise of in a demonic economy, forced to be troughed to a whore, riding a beast.
Before the strength of his heart stopped, there was no right to remain silent. In fact, there were no rights at all. He had the right to life. And even the farthest right-wing jerk, expressing no sympathy, no hurt, can look Trey's mother in the eyes and definitively say her son deserves to be in the dirt. For we die unsung. Beautiful words penned when he said, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the house of bondage. He broke thy chains. With a terrible storm of plagues upon thine enemies, prophetic poets of Torah proclaim.
The odor of sanctity does not cease to be because of the blindness of a child's untrained eye, not yet trained to see. Now when the keys of knowledge have been stripped away maliciously, now when the child has become a casualty in your society among prisoners in a war they never started, just a child against a machine, a regime of corruption and greed. In a world where the powers that be have created an artificial society for me, where conforming the identity has become a cruel experiment on me. Would you train us to be subordinates, fit with false identities, sufficient to do your dirty work and fight your hard wars for you in the name of liberty? But whose liberty calls if it's not the liberty of us all? No wonder we try so hard to find our way. The mold must first be broken from the top to the bottom. The tragedy that quakes stirs the sleeping children to wake at ground zero.
Spun within the ghetto riddle of a black male stereotypical mental spiral out of control in the black widow's web inducing caskets and criminals. Not many of us left without bullet riddles. A career path prospected for the product we served in the dark havens of the pipeline's intelligent design. Visualize the mystery of iniquity, incarnated in the form of a white girl packaged and dispersed among ghetto teens from south of the border, remorselessly. My clay feet marching to the beat of blind hip-hop disagreeable morning stars, mere conjurers of principalities, lost in prophesying for fallen spirits. Not knowing the inner workings of their world lies in collusion with the iron feet of government and police in this revised Roman-like ironclad infrastructure. A hierarchy of ringleaders taking orders from a cherub, the Prince of Tyrese. And what of the child, Black Jesus?
Identify with more than the common man. Identify with those caught under the mightier than the sword lash of the pen named felony. And Lord, please hear the prophetic plea of the inner city streets violently bombarded. Am I proud to be in the marginalized corridor, surviving over mentalities of senseless violence and immorality? Proud to be stretching outstretched, displaced hands to God, handed down life sentences for being fearless street jungle targets of the catcher's grasp, manufactured under the capitalistic absorbent and seduction of fast money? I'm proud to be blood bought, though blood, sweat, and tears defines me, feeling to find my way in this demonic democracy. Prophetic poets of Torah proclaimed of my beloved people in this mafia, the cesspool of a sub-Saharan Holocaust, and casualties like our sons in the streets under police. Sadly, is what it takes to wake up America to a tragic societal reality.
Day to day learning to cope, on the strength of the struggle. In a world we in with see is humane. Can't perpetrate. Don't want to perpetuate the hate. You gotta find a clean slate. I gotta believe it's not too late. The purpose of the black culture should be to cultivate dignity and respect. Without that, we just die. We just cry. With no love, no change. But we're in an evolutionary phase. This here ain't our fate. A revolutionary stage. And we're the characters in these pages. Prophets and sages. Poets of truth. If justice is the cause, let it be justice for all. And don't just forget about what they said. We all know slavery is wrong. Exploit me, that's wrong. Throw away the key, that's wrong. And if I exploited you, I'm sorry. Maybe that's what I thought I was supposed to do. And the secret unfolds in history. We don't pretend, we begin to understand. We need to hear both sides to know the truth. So I expose the lies, so you can know it for yourself. The roles sometimes reverse, and deception is always a curse. My attitude is a peaceful demonstration for the culture of my black nation. My folks, all lovers of truth. Michael Malone, Change the One Poet.
Death is a multi-billion dollar industry. The cemeteries are full of people who've passed from a preventative illness. With the correct approach, you not only extend your chances of preserving your life, but you will improve the quality of your life with a natural approach. The earth provides energy healing herbs for the benefit of mankind.
Hello, I'm Amira Sankofa Kwali here at Ask Life Coaching Ministry. We're located at 1921 West Broadway. We've been in the healing business for over 20 years. To order my products, go to www.ask314life.com. I'm available 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Namaste.
That's Amira Sankofa Kwali, our newest member of the Sign of the Times Blog Talk family. You can reach out to her at area code 502-208-9142,
502-208-9142. Change? Shit. I guess change is good for any of us. Whatever it takes for any of y'all niggas to get up out the hood. Shit, I'm with you. I ain't mad at you. Got nothing but love for you. Do your thing, boy. Yeah. All the homies that I ain't talked to in a while, I'ma send this one out for y'all. Know what I mean? Cause I ain't mad at you. Heard y'all tearing up shit out there. Kicking up dust. Giving a motherfuck. Yeah, nigga. Cause I ain't mad at you. Now we was once two niggas of the same time. Quick to holler at a hoochie with the same line. You was just a little smaller, but you still roll. Got stressed to Y.A. and hit the hood swole. Remember when you had a Jerry curl, didn't quite learn. On the block with your Glock, tripping off Sherm. Collect calls to the tilt, saying how you changed. Oh, you a Muslim now, no more dope game. Heard you might be coming home, just got bail. Wanna go to the mobs, don't wanna chase tail. It seems I lost my little homie, he's a changed man. Hit the pen and now no sinning, it's the game plan. When I talk about money, all you see is the struggle. When I tell you I'm living large, you tell me it's trouble. Congratulations on the wedding. I hope your wife knows she got a player for life. And that's no bullshitting. I know we grew apart, you probably don't remember. I used to be for your sister, but never went a bender. And I can see us after school, we bomb. On the first motherfucker with the wrong shit on. Now the whole shit's changed, and we don't even kick it. Got a big money scheme, and you ain't even with it. Knew in my heart you was the same motherfucker bad. Go toe to toe when it's time for war, you got a proper back. And I can't even trip, cause I'm just laughing at you. You trying hard to maintain, then go ahead, cause I ain't mad at you. And cousins fighting, playing dozens, old neighborhood buzzing, knowing that we buzz it. Used to catch us on the roof or behind the stairs. I'm getting ripped and I reminisce on all the time we said. Besides pumping and grinding, wasn't nothing on our mind. In time, we learned to live a life of crime. We grind us back to a time was much too young enough. I caught a felony loving the way the gun blow. And even though we separated, you said that you wait. Don't get nobody no cookie while I be locked up safe. I kiss my mama goodbye, wipe the
times for a couple years. They got me going mad. I'm knocking busters on their backs in my bed. Picking hell, I know one day I'll be back. As soon as I touch down, I told my girl I'll be there to prepare to get fucked down. The homies wanna kick it, but I'm slapping at you. Cause you's a down ass bitch, and I ain't mad at you. From a nobody nigga to the big man on the block. He's Mr. Local Celebrity, addicted to moving G, most hated by enemies, escaping the luxury. See, first you was our nigga, but you made it, so the choice is made. Now we gotta slay you while you faded. In the younger days, so full of pain when the weapons blade. Getting so high off that bomb, hoping we make it to the better days. Cause crime pays, and in time, you'll find a rhyme ablaze. You'll feel the fire from the niggas in my younger days. So many changed on me, so many try to plot, but I keep a Glock atop my head. When will it stop? Tell God return me to my essence. Cause even as an adolescent, I refuse to be a convalescent. So many questions and they ask me if I'm still down. I moved up out of the ghetto, so I ain't real now. They got so much to say, but I'm just laughing at you. Niggas just don't know, but I ain't mad at you.
Infested waters known as the inner city streets, hounded by thugs and police. not knowing what a God or higher power was, not knowing who or what to trust. At dusk was kicked up from the battle or the angels and demons fighting inside of me. So I guess that my will to live is my torch burning strong, and that voice from another dimension telling me to hold on in the midst of the thoughts of suicide. When the cosmic forces collide and the powers that be plotting, playing genocide against my kind, I realize that on a deeper level, the will to live is also my will to survive.
I mean, if you're just not made of more compassionate stuff, how do you even, how do you even have the faith and the belief that there is a God and that the goodness does exist and that, I just have to hang on to that and try to move forward, although everything in my life is devastation.
Niggas be in the crack of courtrooms, don't be understand what the fuck they do. I understand everything the motherfuckers be saying. They be coming in that bitch like, "You're wrong, my lawyer. As you see, my client comes from a broken home, being solely raised by a grandmother who works two jobs, even on the weekends. If we systematically allow the courts to adjudicate this young man, we won't be a part of the solution. In fact, we'll play a major role in the forever going problems that increasingly plagues urban America." And then the state say, "Objection, Your Honor. To let this menace back into our society would be a great mistake. Let the records reflect that Mr. Thompson scores out to life without any possible chance of parole. Therefore, it's imperative that the courts focus on the defendant's criminal history instead of its ethical background." And then the judge say, "Mr. Thompson, you got anything to say?" "Yep, growing up without a father in my motherfucking household, I had to be a man a long time ago, introduced to the game at a young age, while my peers all hung out at the arcade. The reason why I never talked about my problems, because you had your own and still haven't solved them. You labeled me as a kid who couldn't cope with life, but you could never understand unless you're poor and black. First day of school was like the last day. While you was playing volleyball, I was searching for that fast pace. My granny's holding down a job or two. We had to make ends meet, so I got mine off the avenue. Cash flows through the inner city streets, and I thank the Lord for giving me survival instincts. Many of night, I came across somebody's child, leaving this world, gangland style. And all the while, my mind was taking mental notes. Another Negro, ghetto hero, murder she wrote. Could have been me 6 feet deep, but I'm still around on ghetto ground. Shit go down pound for pound. I'm slinging bricks at the chain gang, and I'ma sling the motherfuckers harder until some things change. So if my past reflects on my destination, then you know I'm in a fucked up situation. And if I'm wrong from getting it the best I can, Your Honor, I'm guilty of being a man." And then the judge go to saying some shit like this here: "Before I release the jury of your peers for deliberation, Mr. Thompson, I would like for you to further elaborate on your upbringing. What caused such a young man of your caliber to commit such heinous crimes since the age of 9? "Well, 7 kids and 7 different fucking daddies. I used to wish my mammy would have never had me. As I recall, the AFDC we received wasn't enough, and all of us had to eat. I showed no love for whoever tried to knock the hustle, and feel the same if you never really had the struggle. You motherfuckers always place the blame on my kind. When we retaliate, y'all quick to say we've lost our minds and give us time, when time is all we got. Maybe I need 3 free hops in that goddamn clock. 'Cause if I die in the street or in the pen, leaving my kin with no cheese will be my only sin. I pray to God that you crack the finally understand I'm only guilty of being a motherfucking man." And then the jury come in that bitch and they be like, "The jury has reached its verdict. Count 1, traffic of cocaine, we find an defendant guilty. Count 2, battered on a law enforcement officer, we find the defendant guilty. Count 3, resisting arrest with violence, we also find the defendant guilty. But due to the insinuating circumstances that surround the case, Your Honor, we, the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, are only forced to find the defendant guilty simply of being a man due to the unusual circumstances. Recess, mistrial."
Thank you. character freedom before a man's eyes. But I'd rather be a man before I do. Cause you understand what? Right? Trying to keep us out of sex. Calling me the bad man. But I don't think you know. You made the bad man. I'm just taking it how it goes. Cause I know your truth is always residing in falsehoods and lies. Keeping us at odds. Then told them to strip razor wire from pole to pole. Then finished them in to steal their hope. Because to them the plight of the black man is just an eloquent joke. But our sons are not laughing, they're mad as hell. Tired of being criminalized and stigmatized, set up for jail. Born beautiful from the womb, never found 8 ounces tough. Yet they're born in ankle chains, blindfolds, and their wrists in handcuffs.
And I want you to tell me that the anger in my eyes is from the losses taken in the life that I know that I was born to win. A life now held firm tight in the grips of hands that don't and don't want to understand the hidden pain within today's struggle expresses our black rage. I mean, our minds and spirits are broken and re-enslaved within a systematic cycle. A world we ain't designed to destroy our self image in a country that ain't never wanted the likes of me to be free in the first place. That's why it's a crime for us to be black. And that's why there ain't no justice for us behind these enemy lines. With hands up, they'll still shoot you. So go on ahead and mount for me, or take a headshot while I stand on the edge of a balcony. Because there are some truths that I gotta speak that the streets don't want you to hear. For fear that I turn this lid into gold like Apple. So I expose those who out here misleading the youth, divide instead of uniting the troops behind these enemy lines.
Okay. With the heart and mind of a free spirit. Strong will, so strong it made me want you to feel it. Not trying to be the realest, but the cause of the real is brutal and cold. Everyone who isn't, so I wanna put it off to my set. One on my back, I deliver the raw tracks. Dropping seeds as I go, but it's not to find my way back. The riddle of the truth one said that the adventure tried to witch. But which one's which? Cause my riddle don't switch. I'm the one dropping seeds to grow while being led to a ditch. Behind enemy lines, but all this time to rhyme with no small change. I was saving cause I saw this shit bubbling. Too many watching. Why you watching me with keep saying you can't see nothing? I saw the whole world change styles. I had seen the new things coming. Like my sack said, Detroit, where I was born, but I was raised by Georgia. By people, places, feelings, and by walls. They say I was behind enemy lines before I was 3 feet tall. When I came here young, Georgia, I know like 90 degrees summer. 2 days of winter. Like the topmost description of Southern. Behind enemy lines. Change storm pulling. Revolution won't stop until the bloody end of resistance itself.
A revolution must force a revisiting of the 13th Amendment's constitutional clause and force a prophetic look in the mirror concerning the diabolical legislation under the Constitution's mantle. Targeting for mass incarceration. So systematic were its writers, and systemic were its roadblocks. Their political trapdoors begat project trapdoors, and the manufacturing of desperate third world country drugs was forced to congeal with the manufacturing of poverty-stricken, impressionable young street thugs. Though many still can't help but see the criminal negligence of a society toward black people lying wounded on their Jericho Road as something of a victimless crime.
Fulfills the mandate of prophecy.
And
broken the state of steel. It was silence in heaven for about the space of an hour.
Okay.
Radio and television programs had somewhere succeeded in its agenda to dumb down the black mind. The goal is to leave us as battles a thousand times. That is why our communities are riddled with bullet holes, infested with disease, flooded with drugs, and plagued by systematic designs that divide and conquer while stoking the flames of black on black crime. Man, we've lost our vision and gone colorblind. The black man treats the black man like he ain't black no more.
Okay.
Over 500 black on black murders in a single city, and we boast about it. See, I know the truth about the effects and effects of poverty. And as I speak, I now think that is my definition of insanity. You understand? See, I give power to truth, and I speak that same truth to power to the establishment, because they are evil scientists who instituted this sadistic social experiment, socioeconomically induced and otherwise. Therefore, my reaction is not one of surprise when I view the actions of those of us who are still mentally enslaved and psychologically hypnotized, scorned, and emotionally traumatized. Our children no longer shed tears. We are people spiritually shackled and chained. We get geeked up, turned up, never to realize these are our inner demons being energized. I minister the truth in order to revolutionize.
Revolution won't stop, stops by the end of existence itself.
From the womb of my earth, my eyes can be open, though never blue.
Okay.
Blue and regretful sorrow, which is not an option in this ongoing struggle for liberation. Blueness also in that Anglo-Saxonism need not be my lot to combat such veiled contemporary tyranny unattained by ingenuity and craft. This beautiful black encasement enshrines the very god of the oppressed, and it brings out heaven's best, and deep within curtail satanic assailants who assassinate the character of people still struggling for parity, not ignorant to the underlying reason for their disparity.
So, shall I stand idle and watch the tender plan of my son be broken and bruised by the infiltration of foreign systems and ideologies that paint pictures of prosperity, placing my seed in pieces of social art to be viewed as cases? Young, courageous black men who have no hope, being socially isolated by Willie Lynch legislation and racial profiling, forcing them to live on the periphery of the politically motivated propaganda machine that idolizes untrained coward cops who demonize them as dangerous because of the color of their skin. It's not their skin that they feel, but the retribution due to resurrect the Son of Justice in their name. The sound of the shofar can be heard in every home. The sense of imminency can be felt. Time for action is now. Accounts must be rendered. Resistance is futile. Compliance is mandatory. Responsibility must not perish in the streets. Before justice, there's always judgment.
Okay.
We're live and in living color here, and we can go ahead do, I can edit this later, so we can edit this first part out. How do you want to introduce yourself? Do you want to be Kinetic Justice, or do you want to use another
Kinetic
name?
Justice. Kinetic Justice, cool.
Okay. Can we speak specifically about the Free Alabama Movement?
Excuse me, I couldn't hear what you said, so.
I said, can we speak on the directly on the Free Alabama Movement? It's okay to use that.
That's more than.
All right. Well, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. My name is Queen Tahira. This is recorded broadcast with members of the Free Alabama Movement, specifically our beloved brother, Kinetic Justice. Peace, brother Kinetic. How are you doing today?
Peace and blessings, Queen. I'm blessed and blessed.
Ashe, good to hear your voice, man. We've been going through it since May Day. So catch us up a little bit about what's going on with the Free Alabama movement and let us know the status of our beloved comrades there.
Basically, just to give an overview, May 1st of this year, we engaged in a nonviolent and peaceful protest in response to the denial of our human rights by the state of Alabama, specifically the Department of Corrections of the state of Alabama. And this is our third protest against the Alabama Department of Corrections, and we may have to go into a few more as the Department of Corrections in the state of Alabama refuses to acknowledge the denial of the human rights of over 30,000 people who are incarcerated. On May 1st, like I said, we began a nonviolent peaceful protest against the Department of Corrections. This began at Holman Correctional Facility and Elmore Correctional Facility and Staten Correctional Facility. And eventually, before it was over, touched bases at Donald Correctional Facility as well as St. Clair Correctional Facility. As a part of that, the Department of Corrections began bird feeding the brothers at these different institutions. And when I say bird feeding, I mean a piece of light bread and one hot dog per meal type demonstration. But it was well below the calorie requirement for each individual. And this was a method and a means to break the unity, to undermine the movement and the shutdown. The brothers endured the bird feeding. After 10 days, the Department of Corrections came up with a different tactic. As work strikes are a part of our program, as it is the crux of what we do, to show the leverage against this system of mass incarceration. The Department of Corrections, in contrast to that, went and got brothers from lower-level institutions, work release camps and honor camps, and as a part of some kind of agreement or deal, they had these brothers to undermine the strikes inside of these institutions and brought in lower-level custody inmates to do the work. Once that happened, around the second week of the work strike, we had to regroup and define a new tactic to deal with the Department of Corrections undermining the work strike. For the last few weeks or maybe a month or so, we have been reorganizing and trying to re-strategize our moves. And in the contrast of why we were doing that, the Department of Corrections has targeted each individual who they consider to be influential or in a leadership position or anyone affiliated with the Free Alabama Movement. And the Department of Corrections has labeled and targeted these brothers as security threat groups to the institution. And then right now we're in the process of, to date, I think maybe 15 people were transferred from where I'm at today. But for the last 3 or 4 days, they have transferred double number of people, double-digit number of people, mixing up the different institutions, trying to undermine the unity and to break up the camaraderie with brothers throughout this system. As of late, Brother Thai Chi was placed in segregation at Donaldson. Well, he was first taken to Donaldson from St. Clair Correctional Facility and placed in a hot bay dormitory. Or what they're trying to create a behavior modification unit. And this is specifically to target influential brothers, brothers in leadership position, and anybody associated with the Free Alabama Movement. What we see developing is it looks like that the Department of Corrections are endeavoring to create a security housing unit or a behavior modification unit, somewhere where they can isolate brothers and use extreme forms of psychological terror to break brothers down or to make brothers be in compliance with their brainwashing technique. Brother spokesperson Ray is still at Donaldson dealing with those type of issues from the administration, being targeted and being repressed on every means and method. As of late, they began rejecting all literature from the Burning Spear Prison Legal News, San Francisco Bayview, or any periodical that makes mention of the Free Alabama Movement has been declared a security threat information, and it may disrupt the institution. Therefore, we're having a long struggle with the administration over taking information, taking literature that, I'm saying, I have a paid subscription for the Bayview Burning Spear, as well as the Prison Legal News. And this is money that is being taken from these individuals on the inside who get a subscription to these periodicals. So, you know, we're faced with a lot of pressure from the Department of Corrections, the administration, each institution, as well as statewide through the commissioner. And they're doing everything they can to undermine the unity and to break up the camaraderie of the Free Alabama Movement in the state of Alabama. And that is the job that we're up against in combating that, continuing to reach our network with brothers, continuing to educate, and continuing to build the bridge between the younger generation and the older generation on the inside, so that we can continue to move forward as a collective group. And I, you know, so that's pretty much a summary of what's going on with us down here in Free Alabama Movement for the last couple of weeks. And if there's anything specific or anything else that you need me to touch on, Queen, feel free to add.
Yes. Now, when you speak on the relationship that the Free Alabama Movement has with the administration there, can you talk about that? And how receptive have they been to the demands that were created so that you could protect your human and civil rights?
Well, the position that the Alabama Department of Corrections has made is that rather than to deal with the issues, rather than to sit down and to communicate and conversate with the brothers to try to come to a resolution, they completely turned a deaf ear and labeled anybody associated with Free Alabama Movement as gang members. And they have taken a position that they would not negotiate. They don't want to negotiate with terrorists or gang members, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, you know, that's why we have to continue the work that we do, because the administration is not being very receptive to the issues that are being laid on the table. And we understand that the reason that they're not receptive is because this is an economical system and they're making millions and millions of dollars. Therefore, that was the whole point of us engaging in work strikes during the negotiation process, because the work strikes give us leverage. It gives us the ability to make demands on the Department of Correction about our human rights, as we are in control of their money. But when we have no leverage, when we are not on work strike, when we're not on shutdown, then, you know, we have no leverage, we have no voice, we have no say-so. And that is the position that the Department of Corrections has taken in regards to dealing with the demands and the issues of the brothers on the inside.
Mm-hmm. So I'm confused, Brother Kinetic. How can they label the Free Alabama Movement, which is an advocacy organization? You've done a lot to build camaraderie there through the prison system. So I'm confused on how they are determining that this is some sort of gang. I'm confused by that.
Well, we are as well, but there has been no specific incident. There has been no specific situation to pinpoint where this erroneous label comes from. But what we do know is that anything inside of the institution that's constructive towards the men who are there as a self-education, teaching each other the law, you know, teaching each other their human rights and so forth, those type of things are considered threats to the order of the institution. And I'm talking about these are things that are beneficial to the people who are here. These are the things that are uplifting to the people here. However, the administration takes the position that it undermines their control and their authority for inmates to take the initiative to educate themselves or to do for themselves. So anything where people on the inside begin to come together and do for themselves for their betterment, the Department of Corrections takes that as a direct affront upon their order and their organization of being able to run their prison. So there's no, like I said, we've 3 years there's been not one violent incident associated with the Free Alabama Movement. We've been nonviolent and peaceful since our inception. We have set out our program, which lays out everything that we're about, and it's about the upliftment and the advancement of all human beings who are being incarcerated and being treated unfairly and being denied their human rights. And to put this type of issue on the table exposes the Department of Corrections for being exactly who they are and what they are. And anytime that happens, you have to assassinate the character of those people exposing you. And that's the position the Department of Corrections has taken. They are assassinating the character of the Free Alabama Movement by associating us with being a gang or a security threat group that, you know what I'm saying, that they can mislabel us so that other people will be less inclined to the message that the Free Alabama Movement is promoting.
Absolutely. And it just confirms what we've spoken about before, Brother Kinetic, that no longer is the word rehabilitation even considered into the equation. It's strictly about correction and punishment. So to hear something like this coming from someone who is, you know, directly impacted by the laws, by the oppression, by the slavery system of mass incarceration, I think it helps people get a better picture of the fact that no longer are you there to pay your debt to society, that they have turned us into a situation pretty much of human trafficking. Would you agree?
Yeah, exactly. Excuse me, exactly. And, you know, we've been promoting and pushing that, you know, these places are not about crime and punishment. It's not about rehabilitation and correction. It's not about that. You know what I'm saying? That's the pretext. That's what they put on the news. That's what they put on the billboard. You know, that's what's on the mission statement. But in fact and indeed, if you come inside of these institutions, you will realize real quick that there is no such thing as education and rehabilitation. This is simply warehouse and a free labor market, as the brothers on the state of Alabama work for free. And these dormitories are made to hold 60 people. However, there are 120 people in each of these dormitories, and they're just being warehoused to work these jobs or to provide labor for the Department of Correction to continue to save them money and to make them money. So, no, there's definitely no rehabilitation. There's definitely no correction, none of those type things going on. And I think they've even articulated that the state of Alabama got away from rehabilitation, you know, in the late 90s, late 80s, the early part of the 90s, where they got away from rehabilitation, and it was strictly a work camp, strictly by working. And that was just changing the language, because Alabama, since its inception, since its beginning, has been founded upon slave labor and continuing to build and grow and develop from convict leasing, Jim Crow, to mass incarceration, and it's all the same thing. Black bodies had behind cages working for free. So that's definitely not about rehabilitation and correction anymore. It's straight up and down about economics, and it's an economical system, just like the institution of slavery was. It's an institution about economics.
So, Brother Kinetic, some people might feel like, okay, so if you're not getting anywhere with the administration, who does the administration answer to? Is there an appeal process or anything that people who are on the outside who want to support can help advocate for? Or is there anything that you need from us as the community in the form of support?
First of all, let's see. First of all, the state of Alabama has no grievance process. They have no grievance system. Brothers and sisters that are locked behind enemy lines in the state of Alabama have no recourse of getting things done. There's no accountability. There's no system in place, which led to, you know, self-organizing and the shutdowns, because, you know, we have no means and no method to have our issues addressed on the inside. And that's something that people on the outside can start rallying around, you know, saying that there is no chain of command on the inside for the people incarcerated to have their issues addressed. You know what I'm saying? The highest thing here is award. I'm saying you can take your issue to a CO or take your issue to a sergeant or a lieutenant and so forth, and they take it to the warden, and that's it. And whatever the warden say, that's it, end of the story. And 9 times out of 10, this is the person who's the problem. You know, this is the person who's creating the situation, and yet this is the person that has to go to the remediator. And that's the problem that we've been faced with in Alabama for many, many years, that the people who create the problem are the same people that we have to turn to correct the problem. And you can only imagine how that goes. So, you know, I think that people on the outside, in regards to representatives, legislators, or the governor, those are the people who fall into the chain of command of the Department of Corrections. However, they all, like I said, they all are embedded or all at the table in this mix because they all receive financial compensation from the labor that's generated out of these prisons. But the actual chain of command would be trying to get the commissioner or trying to get the governor to remedy the situations inside of these institutions, as these institutions have no grievance process and no corrective measures to be made on the inside.
Wow. So I guess that's why they can go through and, you know, snatch up brothers and sisters the way they have with the members of FAM and place them in this behavior modification program without any consequence.
Exactly. There's no accountability, and they set it up. Alabama is one of these states that if you do the history on them, everywhere in history that went from the Civil War all the way up through the convict leasing, through Jim Crow, through all that, you know, it takes the federal government and other people to intervene in regard to these people doing what the law says they should do. Because Alabama has an arrogant attitude that we do what we want to do, and if you don't like it, then come make us do something different. And that's been the history of it. And this situation we're going through now is no different. They're going to milk this situation for all it's worth. The complete denial and disregard of human rights of over 30,000 people is nothing compared to the money they're making. And they're going to continue to rake in revenue until the federal government or somebody above them makes them stop. You know, they could care less if it's right or wrong. In fact, it's going to take a court to tell them they're wrong, or it takes guns to tell them they're wrong. Other than that, the state of Alabama will continue to run their program and continue to rake in millions and millions of dollars at the expense of the less fortunate people throughout the state, mostly them being African-American people that are suffering from these techniques that the Department of Correction uses.
So, Brother Kinetic, how are you doing? How are you getting through all of this and still able to maintain your leadership position and somewhat your sanity and sanctity in this fight? You know, are you doing okay? You know, how do you get through a typical day?
Well, it's really been hectic lately. Last week, there was an altercation outside with the officers in regards to, you know, me being in solitary 31 months, going on 31 months, and the rejecting of my mail and so forth. And I was trying to bring those issues before the administration when there were other, well, basically, let me back up. In segregation, like I said, there's no grievance process. So the way that people have their issues addressed in segregation is that every morning we have a 45-minute exercise walk when they take you out to walk in cages. And if you have an issue to bring over the administration, most people won't come back in after they 45 minutes. They refuse to come back in until they see the warden or see someone in authority. And this is one of the situations that happened last week where there were three of us outside that had issues with the warden that wanted to see the warden. This situation turned into something completely different than talking to the warden. At the end, they brought shotguns and tasers and stun guns and threatened bodily harm for myself and a few other people about bringing up issues and not being in compliance with what they say do. And, you know, it's just every day it's a different situation with dealing with these people, and I have to stay on my guard because I'm no fool, and I know that they've been denying me medical treatment for almost a year now. And you know, the food issue, the sanitation, everything that these people are doing are directed towards the elimination or the murdering of me and other brothers back here. So, you know, I have to be conscious of where I'm at and who's around and try to be as vigilant as possible. Try to stay in communication with the different brothers who are being shipped around the state. Now, you know, saying brothers who were one place, the next day they're somewhere else. So it's really a job trying to keep up with where the brothers are at and what all the Department of Correction have going on, as well as trying to keep my sanity and deal with the situations that I'm faced with myself. So it's a struggle, sister, but, you know what I'm saying, a lot of growth is the struggle. So if it ain't no struggle, ain't no growth. So we struggling down here.
Ashe, Ashe, much love and much respect for the fact that you've been able to persevere throughout the 31 months of solitary confinement. And a lot of people might think that, you know, I did not read something that said solitary confinement was determined inhumane. Has that trickled down to Alabama, that they determined that to have prolonged solitary confinement that equates cruel and unusual punishment?
If they heard it, they didn't pay attention to it. If it trickled down to them, they didn't hear it. They weren't paying attention to it. Cause nothing has changed about nothing about solitary confinement here. With man, nothing has changed about the state of Alabama, period, in regards to solitary confinement. So, you know, I've seen litigation, and I've seen articles, and I've seen op-eds, and, you know, I've seen multiple literature where people are beginning to organize around the fact that solitary confinement is cruel and unusual and amounts to psychological torture. And they're absolutely correct. And the thing about it is, in Alabama, that you can be absolutely correct, and that's of no consequence. You know, it's not about you being right. It's about what they say is right. And as of now, solitary confinement has been deemed to be just fine by them.
Wow. Well, I know that there's a national effort to make it a federal crime to resort to cruel and unusual punishment, even in the case of our confined citizens. So if there's anything that comes across our desk, we definitely will forward it to the Free Alabama Movement and the supporters. Can you let the listeners know how they can support you all through the Free Alabama Movement? Get out your contact information, please.
Yes. Well, you can contact mothers and family members. It's an outside organization. I wish I had the information present right now, but I don't. But now we have a Facebook page where you can find us on Facebook, Free Alabama Movement, all cap letters. You can find us at freealabamamovement.wordpress. In either one of these venues, you can leave us a message, and we'll be definitely sure to get back to you. In regards to contact with mothers and families, I'm going to have to get that information to you, but that is our outside support network, and they aim to assist us in all of the endeavors that we do embark on the inside. So you can find them on Facebook, mothers and family members, or find us, Free Alabama Movement, on Facebook, and leave us a message or contact, and we'll be sure to get back in touch with you.
Okay. Now, Brother Kinetic, before we wrap up here, because I know your time is limited, now, how much of what is happening to us on the street is directly related to the issue of mass incarceration? Because that's another thing, I think, the bridge, if you will, to link the two, that a lot of people are missing, that, you know, it's either the cemetery or the jail system for a lot of our brothers and sisters who are out here trying to make it. So can you talk about how some of the current events that are happening with assaults from the state against especially our black men directly relates to mass incarceration?
Yes, you know, and it is very clear what's going on, and I don't know why it's so hard for us as a community to be able to connect the dots. When I was growing up, I used to be a fan of jail or hell. You know, and that was what was expected for young black men. You know, you're going to jail or hell. And that's exactly what we're seeing today. And, you know, most people are caught up on the fact that they're shooting and killing our children in the street, which is, I'm talking about something tragic that definitely needs to be addressed. But this is the same interaction that leads to mass incarceration, the police officer engaging in our young brothers and sisters in our community. Some of them are so fearful that they shoot them before they get to the courthouse, and some of them can maintain until they get you to the courthouse. But it's the same actual demonstration. Untrustworthy, lying, scary police officers who think that his authority overrides the humanity of everyone else. Therefore, he can do and say whatever he chooses to do. And, you know, we're seeing that a lot of our brothers and sisters are being shot down in the street. But for years, a lot of my brothers and sisters are being shot down in the courtroom behind these same corrupt officers. You know, they lying, they fabricating evidence, you know, they coercing witnesses, and they shooting people. This is the same force. The first line of defense from this system is the police department, and they're engaged in a war against our community, whether it be to shoot us down in the street or to frame us up and to lock us up and to hang us in their courtrooms. This is the exact same struggle that's going on against mass incarceration, that's going on with Black Lives Matter. It is a war against the black community, and that's plain and simple. You know what I'm saying? That we connect the dots from the courtroom to the cemetery, but it is the same police forces, and it's the same ones that's doing the same thing, whether it be to kill you or to lie on you and frame you and wrongfully convict you. We're still losing on all sides, and we're receiving that same sentiment of jail or hell. And that's what's happening to our children. Our children are either being sent to jail for extended periods of time, or they're being killed right in these streets in cold blood. So, you know, it's on us as people to begin to educate and uplift our awareness and begin to connect these dots and begin to help other people see the connection between what's going on in the streets today with Black Lives Matter and the police killing our children, as well as the struggle that's been going on for the last couple of years against mass incarceration. This is one and the same. This is the same struggle.
I say it definitely is. Well, do you have anything you want to make sure that the listeners hear, and we can do this again, you know, as your schedule permits, every few days or once a week, you know, however you see fit. You know, what do you want the listeners to do or to hear until the next time we meet?
I would ask that all listeners, you know what I'm saying, begin to educate yourself about the issues, what's going on in society today with the police killing our children, as well as what's going on with mass incarceration. And that was one of the most valuable points I think that we've made here, is to begin to make the connection between what's going on in the courtroom and what's going on in our community. And, you know, to educate yourself, network with other like-minded people, and let's educate one another. Let's share this information. Let's share this knowledge. Let's come together. Let's organize, and let's put a stop to this, the killing of our children in the community, as well as the mass incarceration of our men and women throughout this country. That is the message that I want to send on behalf of Free Alabama Movement.
All right, everyone, please go to the Free Alabama Movement YouTube page, as well as their website, www.freealabamamovement.com. Please keep Brother Kinetic, Dati, Jaja, Roz, and all the other beloved brothers who are part of the movement in your thoughts and prayers. And if you get an opportunity to engage anyone in the conversation about what mass incarceration and over-prosecution and targeting of our community is doing to us, please take the opportunity to do so, because everything changes when we start to have those kinds of conversations and deal with them in truth and speaking truth to power. So thank you so much, Brother Kinetic. We love you, we appreciate you, and we are here for you anytime you need us.
Thank you. Thank you, Queen. My greetings to all. Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Take care.
Peace.
Playback.
Music hitting your heart, cause I know you got a soul. Listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing. Giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black band's sweating. In the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need. Our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the power of that beat. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Power. We got to fight the power that's beat.
Algorithms designed to bounce with self-present the lies. Designed to fill your mind, now that to realize the prize arrives. We got to pump the stuff to make it up. From the heart, it's the start of work of art. To revolutionize, make a change, something strange.
People,
we all the same, no, we're not the same. Cause we don't know the game. What we need is awareness, we can't get careless. You say, what is this? Let's get down to business. Mental self-defense of fitness. So let's get going.
We got to start the pressure, no one.
To make everybody see. In order to fight the power that be.
Fight the power.
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 We've got to fight the power of that
number one,
yeah. Damn if I said you could find me right here. Hit it,
knock it,